This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Oh, welcome to Tuesday. Boy, the conversation that goes on just before the show. Brent's a little fired up today.
Hey, good morning. Hi.
Yes. It's good afternoon, That's okay.
All right, listeners, welcome to Newsmakers. This is the place you want to be for the local talk and the local action. So I am Brent DeHart. I'm here with Dave Bourne.
Hey.
It is Tuesday.
Welcome.
And we have Mayor Chuck Bennett of the City of Salem with us today. We were just talking about dealings with processes and governments. And,
you mean red tape.
And selling a house.
Yes.
It was all public, right. It was private, it was just red tape everywhere. This place is
covered in red tape.
Just the way it feels some days.
Private sector is better than the public sector in dealing with things, but now
not
in
necessarily.
We're going to get a debate out on that one today.
Insurance sometimes just makes things really, really irrational and
crazy.
Yeah. We were talking about that with the Little League, and congratulations to Sprague Little League for the World Series. They have another game today, folks, by the way. They were knocked out after losing the first couple of games, but they get to play a consolation game against one of the international teams today.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
So that
should
be really fun for them, and they can come home.
And if you haven't seen them play, it really is fun to watch those games.
Yeah.
Is it being broadcast on ESPN?
Yeah. Yep.
Is it? Yeah. What, 5 o'clock?
Oh, this game, I don't know about this one. Yeah,
it'd be interesting because I watched their first game, and I'll tell you, it was just a lot of fun. They were, unfortunately, when I caught it just as it was really getting going, they were ahead. And then it suddenly turned on them, I think in about the fifth inning or something. But it was really exciting. Those kids have just really represented the community well. And their parents, just can't congratulate their parents and those kids and their coaches enough. We had them into the city council before they left to wish them well. And it's been a pretty exciting ride for I think, everyone in the community that was following this.
Cool. All right. So, Mayor, we were talking about this yesterday. So Dave Bourne promised the listener that we would ask you about this.
Oh, really?
The price increases.
Thanks.
So, yeah.
I prepared him.
We like to put him on the hot seat.
Yeah.
So the price increases for the Salem Police Headquarters.
Yeah.
There's, you know, we understand price increases. And if any rational person or any person that's familiar with construction and development, there can be price increases. There'll be varying degrees of material costs and things like that. Right now, as of now, we have scaled back what we told the voters we were going to get, though, and we're paying at least 18% more for it. So we're paying more and getting less. And what is the thought on the council?
Well, the council is, believe me, very concerned. I mean, they were nobody's happy when you end up paying more for something and getting less. That is true in government, in private business, true at home when Mrs. Bennett has that happen to her. Trust me, I think we all understand that. The reality is the Salem Police Station bond measure passed at a time when construction market became extremely volatile. And we saw the actual cost of the building go up 25%. Just bam. It was, when we looked at the building initially, it was $300 a square foot was the basic estimate of what this would cost. Hence the size of the bond measure for the size of the building. You put it together that way. And by this was in 2016. By 2019, it had skyrocketed to $400 a square foot to build the building. It's just that expensive. And
does that include the fixtures and the cabinetry
everything.
And everything?
It's everything.
All right.
It's the fixtures. It's on-site, off-site improvements. It's a whole batch of issues come into play in this thing, and so you get. Cost of steel and concrete has gone up. A scarcity of skilled labor drives the cost of labor up. I mean, it is absolutely classic supply and demand. And demand right now is extremely high in the construction market, both public and private. We've had a major school bond measure pass in this community, so we've got schools being virtually rebuilt in Salem right now. And that pulls a batch of folks out of the market or creates a high kind of hyper-competitive situation. We saw especially high cost increases in the electrical, plumbing, HVAC, the heating and air conditioning portion of it, as well as structural steel. These were areas that just really went up substantially in cost. So we continued to work. We used, I think, a very good model this time. You know how often people think what you do is you put it out for bid and then you go with the lowest bid. Mm-hmm. We used a different strategy this time because it's a very complicated building and one we know we're going to have to use for at least 40 or 50 years. That's been our experience here in Salem, maybe longer. I mean, this is going to be a long-term investment. We wanted it done right. And so we used what's called a design build, and that's essentially where you're working your way through the design of the building with a contractor, with your owner's representative, with representatives of the architects. So as you see costs escalating, mm-hmm. We were able to change things. And I'll just give you the example that comes to mind for me was we were able to cut some costs by reducing the number of electrical outlets. You know, you've got a certain number of electrical outlets you've built into this thing, cut them back, and you're able to save a little
money. Is that a good idea, though?
Yeah, it was a good idea. Are you in construction or am I in construction?
No.
I just think we have guys who actually work in this area.
My office, it's always like, could there be too many
more
electrical outlets? No.
Yes, there can. Yes, there can. Particularly if I'm paying for it, I'll take the – that's the concept anyway.
They're going to have more power strips
there.
There
will be a lot more power strips, yes. Apparently. God, yeah. You guys.
Well, it's true, because if you don't have enough electrical outlets, you end up putting a power strip in and overloading them,
yeah.
Because everybody's charging their phones or their iPads, mm-hmm. or their computers. And
all right, let me ask some of the questions I anticipate that the listener might be asking. All right, so you're not happy. Council's not happy. Nobody likes getting less and paying more.
Exactly.
Is the contractor happy? That's what the listener wants. I'm like, well, I bet that contractor who's bending over all of us taxpayers, I bet they're happy.
No. Right? No. That contractor was hoping they would be able to come in and put the project together for as complete a project as they could. Nobody's – I think that doesn't – that he's going to pay the costs whether – no matter what. I mean, his margin is his margin in there.
Well, if his margin's 30%, then he's making
30%. No, his margin isn't 30%. But
then he's making his margin times another $11 million.
No, that's not how that works. Those costs are actual costs. Those are actual costs that have to be paid. That does not mean they're going through his hands. We have only just now reached a final bid on the building. What you're doing is adapting the building to available funding. And it is genuinely the best way to do this kind of building. We're reasonably happy with what's going on. We've had to go to the Urban Renewal Fund for a portion of it. We were going to be there anyway. There were substantial portions of this building that fit into the Urban Renewal's mission, that Urban Renewal's area mission, particularly as we dealt with Division Street and parts of the infrastructure around it.
All right. Well, we're going to want to talk about that. We're going to dive into the urban renewal money. Where are the pots of money are being utilized to make up the $11 million shortfall and so forth.
Yeah.
We've got Mayor of Salem, Chuck Bennett, with us. Stay tuned. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem. And Brent, it's giveaway time.
Let's give some stuff away.
Yes. We haven't done this before, but maybe we have. We have pairs of tickets to go to the Sublimity Harvest Festival, September 6th through the 8th in Sublimity. And I'll take the first caller right now, 503-393-1430, 503-393-1430. You get a pair of tickets to Sublimity Harvest Festival, September 6th through the 8th. And this is one pair of tickets, good any one day during that festival. We have other pairs of tickets to give away, but we won't do them today.
All right. So we have it. Free entry is a very good price.
Yes.
We were just talking about how to get in cheap at the State Fair yesterday.
Yes, so, we were.
Yep, here we go. All right. Welcome back to the studio. This is Brent DeHart. With us is Mayor Chuck Bennett. We're talking about the cost overruns for the public safety building. We call it the police headquarters, but really it's so much more than that. I mean, we did build in a lot of functionality into this thing. And as the mayor was saying, there's going to be about three generations enjoying the use of this thing. But the concerns right now is that it's coming in much, much higher than we thought it was going to, and higher than the amount of money that the voters permitted the city council to go into debt over, right?
No.
$62 million approved bond measure.
Yeah, for the bond measure. And then there are portions of the costs that are handled by other funds that are available, like urban renewal. Yeah.
Right, but the cost is exceeding the amount of the bond measure that the voters approved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. Correct.
Yeah. So that's what
I think we all knew that. No, I just think it's important. It isn't. I think you need to have looked at how that project is packaged, how a project that complicated is packaged. And in this case, the bond measure is taking care of the building as it relates to the police department. The urban renewal portion of it is taking care of the public, the broader public elements of it, like a community room, a plaza, some street work. There's some water work that had to be done that is part of the urban renewal agency's available.
So this is the part about it, that urban renewal, that I don't get. I thought it was a big process to change an urban renewal plan or to add projects to it. Was that groundwork laid?
No, this was, yeah. This is part of the scope of that urban renewal area. Yeah, that's correct. This, if you'll remember, part of the reason it is there is in part because it offers substantial improvement in that north downtown portion of the urban renewal district.
Oh yeah, I think it's gonna be great for the neighborhood.
I do too.
It had some detractors as far as location.
Everything. Let's just be real honest. Everything has detractors,
right?
And I'm hearing some of it now, and I've heard a lot of it over time, and I understand. I mean, I do. I think there is a lot of concern about these big projects. I get it.
Yeah, and people sometimes don't like it if you take in, because it was a property, and we're talking about a site that was a car dealership for many, many years, and it would pay property tax, and now the city's going to know, and it's not going to pay property tax, and that gave some people heartburn. However, it was a great piece of real estate, and it was a neighborhood that needed something. It needed some investment.
Uplift.
Yeah, some investment.
Well, it did, and this offers that kind of investment. I'm still concerned.
Core.
I think it's still concerning, though, that use of urban renewal for public projects remains, I think, problematic, and one of those kinds of issues that I think we have to be really sensitive to. I think that's what you're alluding to. We've done this before. The City Hall itself is part of a massive urban renewal project that included SAFE. It included the hospital, Willamette University, City Hall. Yeah, the library got built in there, and all of that was an urban renewal area that was set up back in the 70s, and is, I think, right now the only urban renewal area we've ever retired in the city of Salem. But it's just such a mixed bag, and I think in this case, the council, as the urban renewal agency, has consistently looked at it very carefully to make sure that each of the elements that are funded by urban renewal represent the kind of project that fits the plan and enhances the area for public use. And
as you've had to move some of the monies over, and I think you're over $5 million from urban renewal, is that $5 million, what projects were in the plan already that was earmarked for that $5 million that is going to have to wait?
Well, all the street improvements were $5 million and were part of the urban renewal project. Then there was an additional, there's a very large community room that's part of that. There are public restrooms that'll be available.
According to the Salem Reporter, they were saying that the money was taken that was earmarked for other projects.
So then
rediverted to this project, so it was shifted. So that's the question is, was it some waterfront improvements that got delayed or some traffic improvements on Front Street that got delayed?
I think they misunderstood what
earmarked means.
What earmarked means, because he just said that all that money was already slated for the police station, for all the public improvements.
In part, and I want to make sure I'm really clear on this too, Dave. I think there was some additional money, but it was not taken from, I think earmarking is not the correct way to put it. In other words, there is no project they were taken from. They were available for loans and grants during this cycle. And no, there was nothing had been captured for that purpose. Plus, we've not seen action in that area, in the downtown urban renewal area, that would indicate anyone's being denied funding. Plus, as you know, the Urban Renewal Fund refills itself every year. So we didn't see that there was going to be an impact on any project that we could identify. That was a big reason we were willing to do the kind of fund movement we needed to do to get particularly the plaza, the community room, that kind of stuff, those mm-hmm. sorts of public additions. Plus, there's a trail along the creek. There's fencing that people wanted to be nice. I mean, there's some stuff like that that really needed to be done. This is going to be a beautiful project, for one thing.
So the listener knows that we had educate us on the timeline. We had some bonds that were used and they were issued to build the conference center and being retired or are retired. And that is creating an influx of cash actually into the downtown urban renewal area.
That's correct.
But I just don't know the timing of when that money's coming in. I didn't know if the urban renewal is a little bit more flush now than it would have been because these bonds are being retired and repaying for that one-time controversial convention center, which has been a shining success.
Which was controversial in its time as well.
And now it's paid for.
Yeah, it was going to be a white elephant, wasn't it? In fact, it's been in the black ever since, paid off its bonds early. I believe they were retired last year. And there has been, because they did take a certain amount of urban renewal funds to retire that bond, those funds have been become available again. And part of what's going on is we're doing a lot of work downtown. I mean, if you go downtown right now, you're seeing where a new hotel is going to be located, a kitty corner for the convention center, a new apartment building, I think five or six stories is coming in on the old McMahon site. It's just one project after another. We just opened Paul Gaylor's courtyard there on Court and Front Street. I think that might be 40 units. It's a substantial number of units for rent there, plus some retail space. We're just seeing a great deal of work going on, and we're making a lot of grants and loans to continue that. In fact, one of my theories right now is that the excitement downtown, we're seeing so many people trying to move downtown right now. It's sort of that neighborhood everyone has always kind of imagined they'd love to live in, which is sort of urbanized in a city, sort of urbanized with lots of restaurants, coffee shops, a dry cleaner, a barber. You remember how each of those were always, if you ask, what would you like to have in your neighborhood? You've got lots of them now in downtown. I noticed in the paper today several new restaurants opening downtown.
You know what I miss downtown is Schrock's.
Oh.
We don't have a men's clothier You have big box stores, but you don't have that classic men's clothier. Yeah, we lost a couple of those. Anyway, let's go back to the police facility. We're getting distracted.
I'm sorry.
Could you talk about the compromises we've had to make as far as different and I think what the listener wants to know is, are we building a smaller building? What elements are you talked about? Maybe we're going to change some flooring. We're going to change some specs on some siding. The article talks about the cost of bricks, maybe alternating the design or the number of cabinets and all of these things.
Yeah.
What should the taxpayer just be aware of in terms of compromises we had to make to keep it within the budget we've got?
Well, I think probably the biggest compromise was, and I'm trying to remember exactly, they cut the size of the building by 11,000 square feet.
Wow.
So at $400 a square foot, which became, you're estimating at three, you do it at four, it really represents just short of a 10%. Reduction in size. I think the thing's now going to be about 104,000 square feet. Still got lots of room to grow. Way better than the 36,000 square feet they're located in the first floor of City Hall.
So smaller footprint. Or was it
less square footage? Yeah, and I don't know what the footprint looked like initially, but they have reduced that much square footage and found ways to do it and still kept the promised programmatic parts of the building. I mean, there'll still be a lab, there'll still be training rooms, there'll still be a locker room, there'll still be, office. They won't have three or four guys on a table, on a desk, mm-hmm. They'll actually have it in a more rational way, and there'll be room for growth. Plus, a very big part of this was making sure that they had secure parking. As you know, one of the realities right now of the police department is the cars, very valuable equipment, is sort of scattered all over town. It's in unsecured locations at City Hall, across Commercial from City Hall, in various other parts of town. This will bring all of that equipment together. These guys will have lockers. Today, they don't have lockers, our police officers. They'll have evidence room, which they don't have now. It's in, and we'll be eliminating a batch of space that's being rented in the community. We also, I think one of the things to realize is because of our really great bond rating in the city of Salem, which has to do with some other factors involving the way we handle money at the city, we got a $5.8 million premium on the sale of the bonds. And so it's this is my impression and my opinion that this has been extremely well managed to make sure that we stayed within. Nobody's going to see their bond costs go up. We're unlike some other. We promised what this was going to cost. That's what it's going to cost. We described a building that would have a level of service for X number of years. That will come on to line. I mean, I think we're meeting all the obligations of the bond. I do think, though, that the person asking the question, I think, has really reasonable concerns is what happened? Well, what happened is the economy, and particularly the economy of the Mid-Willamette Valley. Good news, bad news. Bad news is it's causing us to use some urban renewal funds for this. The good news is we have such a booming economy that the cost associated with building anything is skyrocketing, and it's happening to everybody. Everybody's running into it, whether it's the hospital or the school district or any other organization. The other thing, I hope people will appreciate this, we've been very transparent about how this whole thing goes together, and I think all of us would love to have seen it go just, the economy stays the same, the cost stays the same, everything flies through. Welcome to America and to Oregon and to Mid-Willamette Valley in the
19s,
yeah. It's God, when is this? Yeah.
We're going to have the school district on and ask them how their processes are going.
Right.
With their
Salem Hospital, too.
Oh, yeah.
They're building a brand new tower.
Yeah, maybe that won't overlap in some of the labor market on the contractors.
I'll tell you the other thing we've had. We've got great subcontractors, a lot of great local subcontractors. This whole project has been, like any other project of this size, is a boost to our local economy. I mean, we've got as good an employment rate now, or unemployment rate, however you like to look at it, as we've ever had in this area. I mean, this is really a great time to be willing to go to work, because there's jobs everywhere right now.
All right, we have to take a break. Mayor, do you want to stay for a while? Do you have to get to City Hall? We could talk about our Salem.
Yeah, we could. I can do a couple of minutes.
All right, stick with us. We'll bring the mayor back. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers promptly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart. In the studio with us is the mayor of the city of Salem, Chuck Bennett. We've been talking about the police headquarters being built and its cost overruns and so forth and how that came to pass. We begged him for just a few more minutes here, and we'll take another break before our second guest comes in today. Just talk about our Salem a little bit. You should all know they're going through a process of planning what we want our city to look like and how and to function for the next generation or so, right? The comprehensive plan.
Yeah.
And how it goes about public input.
Yeah, it's a really interesting process. The city of Salem's comprehensive plan has not been updated in about 40 years. To kind of appreciate how far we have come with the existing plan. So one of the realities of what planning does to a community. In this town, in the back in the 70s, when they did the plan, they said, you know what? We're not going to have growth out onto farmland. We're going to put them in the hills of West Salem and the hills of South Salem. And when you look at where population densities are, they're in the hills of West Salem. They're in the hills of South Salem. And then you've got the associated problems of we don't have adequate infrastructure to serve the populations that are developing in either area. And it tells you, just that simple fact in my mind tells you why you better pay attention to what we're doing today. Mm-hmm. Because we are going through the process they went through 40 years ago, over 40 years ago now, looking at every aspect of this community, what we'd like to see it look like in the future, how we'd like to see it work. We're getting a great deal of discussion of, and then it depends on how you frame it, but it's either climate change, climate heat increase. Last night we were told it's climate crisis.
Oh, boy.
That has become a substantial part of the discussion. It's part of the community-wide discussion of what's going on, how to deal with gas emissions in the community, which are caused primarily by cars, the addition of tree canopy, the cost of housing, sidewalks, trails, parks, how all of that fits together. And each of us have a vision mm-hmm. of what we'd like our community, and I mean our neighborhood or the city itself, to look. We don't, generally, it's kind of like, well, God, I sure don't like long, congested strips of commercial activity. How does that look? How do mm-hmm. we then deal with the commercial needs? And this is the one I think is most tricky for people. It's kind of like, well, let's stop growing. Well, we can't. We are scheduled by the state, essentially, to grow about 65,000 people over the next 20 years or so. We will reach a point where this city is going to be much bigger. And then you look at our market area and we know it's going to be even bigger or more population. we don't have a choice but to accommodate that. That's one of the requirements of this process, is you have to have enough housing or opportunity for housing to occur, which means we're looking really at substantial density changes. The state has already changed the law saying you no longer can have single family zoning. You've got to agree that you've got to have multifamily inside your single family zone, inside your what was single family zones. That's going to change the density here. For a lot of folks, I really would point to, if you've been to Europe, remember what those towns were like that you were in. They're very high density, very difficult to drive through, lots of walking. It's going to be it's interesting what we're going through.
Let's talk a little bit about what the comprehensive plan is. You know, it is something that's driving what we're planning for the next potentially 40 years, right?
Right.
And if you're not showing up, folks, if you're not showing up, some activists are going to show up and paint the picture of your future for you, right? So, and I was talking to the mayor during the break, and every person that testified at the most recent public hearing, every single person brought up climate change, climate crisis. So if that's going to be our number one planning goal, well, then you can forget a number one planning goal being transportation infrastructure.
Wow.
Right?
Well, it changes the discussion, how you talk about
entirely.
It.
Entirely.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there's lots of meetings going on. Check the city website.
There's a transportation plan. There's an overall transportation plan.
Yeah.
And that's, correct me if I'm wrong, and there's also a parks master plan
that's
for the whole park system. And all of these things are incorporated in the comprehensive plan,
that's
right?
That's correct.
So those big pieces, folks, right? Transportation plan, the parks plan, all of these things are incorporated into this master plan, and that is what is going to cause policymakers and staff to make decisions for the next couple, three decades.
Exactly. And remember, the city council included in this year's budget a climate action plan. So that will be part of the discussion. There was a discussion last night, or a proposal last night, to change the name of our planning commission to the Salem Planning and Sustainability Commission, to deal with the attendant issues. And I'm not well enough versed to talk quickly about it, but of planning and sustainability in the community. There is a lot going on here, and I think folks standing back on it make a mistake not becoming more involved. And probably the one that I think is most concern to people is the cost of housing. Will there be housing that my children or grandchildren can afford?
They've just
got to have. They need, if nothing else, I'd be part of that discussion. But and how easy will it be for me to get around town? And will there be shopping where I want to go shopping? Will we have a good economy? You know, the
well, we haven't
lots
heard the,
to talk about.
We haven't heard the end of that from the mayor.
We'll talk
this,
some more.
This getting along. We thank you for your extra time.
Thank
we're gonna
you.
Have to take a break and get to our next guest of the hour. Hey, listeners, stick with us. We've got more here on Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. All of Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers proudly brought to you by our friends at Green Acres Landscape.
Welcome back, folks. I hope you enjoyed the conversation with Mayor Chuck Bennett. It was nice to have him on.
It was eye-opening, is what that was.
A little extra time with him, and we'll have to so many things to unpack that came out of that conversation. We just don't have enough time in our noon hour with the mayor's busy schedule as well to talk about some of these issues that are going to affect our Salem initiative. With population growth and people having babies and density issues, and how long we're going to live with this document, and are we going to basically tie the hands of future policyholders, policymakers, no matter who we elect, with some of the decisions that are made in 2020 and 2019,
Right? That's kind of scary.
So very important things we will continue to unpack here on Newsmakers. We didn't even get a chance to talk about public safety and some of the shootings, but we'll have them back on next week. So moving right along, we have another guest in our studio here today to finish out our hour. Dan Summers, he's been a guest on Newsmakers before. Dan's with Advantage Heating and Air Conditioning. And I was just talking about a home in a different state. Nevada, it's like 110 and the AC goes out. That's a pretty serious thing.
That is serious.
I don't know how businesses like yours handle the emergencies.
Boy, it gets really rough. You know, we have to plan for it, and everybody knows that this is the time of year that there's going to be some overtime, there's going to be some emergencies, and we have 24-hour emergency service. So,
wow. Advantage does.
Yes. So my guys understand that they're going to get a phone call, and it's, you know, it might be late, it might be early in the morning, but we've got to get out there.
You can't just hire up an extra person because it's August, right? A trained person.
Nope, you can't. And it's very difficult to do that, exactly what you say, but that's why I say that my guys do expect to work overtime.
Dan, can I ask you a question?
Uh-huh.
And hopefully OSHA isn't listening if this is sensitive, but I keep thinking about guys having to work and potentially go into crawl spaces in attics when you get a heat spell. How do you mitigate that? How are you able to do that safely?
Difficult. Yeah, I mean, that's true. To get up in an attic, I mean, sometimes it can be 150 degrees up there, and the guys know, okay, you've got to have a lot of water. You're going to have to come down and probably sit in the van in the air conditioning for a little bit to get cooled off. When we're doing an installation, we'll have two guys so that they can kind of watch each other and keep reminding each other, hey, we've got to get out of this attic. But when it's a service technician or something like that, he's got to watch his own intake of water, and he's got to.
Do you have to prevent it? You have to like sometimes try to blow all that hot air out, and
that's impossible.
Impossible.
Yeah, but we do have, or I have in the past, had some fans and things like that. And we do the best we can to cool it down.
Well, I feel for you guys. Yeah, I feel for you guys. That's why they get the big bucks, right? They're in their crawl spaces, and they're in their attics, and they're carrying heavy stuff.
We do try to start early and get off, get done with those kind of jobs early.
Yeah.
It's no kidding.
Really frightening. Yeah. I know. And we live in a fairly moderate climate, really, but we do get our 90s and an occasional 100, and it does. It's good. Oh,
yeah.
150 degrees up there. I remember at one of my houses, my first house I owned in Salem, I installed a heat triggered exhaust vent.
Yeah,
that would just exhaust the superheated heat.
And correct.
That keeps my cooling costs down and so on and so forth.
It
so
does.
Do you guys do a lot of that?
We don't do that ourselves, but we do have really that's more of an electrician that would wire in a fan and put all that in.
That's right. You're doing systems.
Yep.
All right. Hey, tell us why you're here today.
Well, we've got a really awesome promotion that we're doing right now, and really it's to help the community. For every system that's purchased, it's up to $200 towards the first responders. So that would be the fire department, the police department, and they've got some real needs. And we're going to try and help them out with that. So we've been running this promotion for about 2.5 months so far. And what's really neat is the factory is actually going to match what we've come up with to give them. So this could work out to be a really nice lump of money so that they can actually do something.
All right. So if someone's thinking, well, it's about time I did something about our system. Last winter was really expensive and so forth. We can call it Advantage. Get a great system. $200 from you guys goes to first responders plus a match from your supplier.
From the factory, yes.
Wow. That's pretty
correct.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now, is that going through the foundations, the police foundation, the fire foundation, or how do you
money? We're going to actually present a check to them, and we're working with them right now to find out exactly what they need and what they want so that they can earmark that money so it just doesn't go into a general fund, mm-hmm. so that it actually goes into the fund where, and they're, the fire department's looking at needing some smoke detectors you know, and those kind of things. The police department, they have their own ideas of what they need, but we're hoping that we can get them together and come up with one master plan for that's good for all of them.
So if I need a new AC unit, does that qualify?
Yes, it does.
If I need a new furnace, not that anybody would know it this month, but if I need a new furnace, does that qualify?
That is correct.
How long are you going to keep doing this?
We're going to actually, we want to present the check on 9/11.
Oh, nice.
So September 11, we want to honor them and have a check. And my understanding is it's looking like it's going to be at our office. And so we'd like to invite anyone down to be there.
Where is it?
1360 Tandem Avenue Northeast in Salem.
Tandem. I'm running blank.
Just across the from here, it's like 3 minutes.
Oh, okay. Not far. We're talking to Dan Summers of Advantage Heating and Air Conditioning. And, hey, we didn't have a lot of 90-degree weather this year.
So far this summer.
We have a hot spell yet. But even this, you know,
knock on
this
wood
week,
somewhere.
It's elevating to the high 80s. Has that hurt business? Is business pretty steady?
It's steady, but last year, you know, it was a lot hotter and we had a lot more going on. And we're probably about 2 weeks out for installations. But if there's an emergency, we've put people in quicker than that. And we've always done that. Last year, we were probably 3 to 4 weeks out. So, yeah, it's kind of not having a warm summer that can really put a strain on the business, but we're still doing well.
Well, it doesn't sound like you have any employees that are sitting around idle.
Nope, not at all.
Do you have one dedicated team for emergencies?
What we do is we rotate.
Oh, good.
So our guys, we've got 5 service technicians, and they all rotate different weeks, and then we also have a backup so that they're not all alone. And if everyone has to be on call, then we've got 5 on-call service techs that have to be ready
awesome.
To go.
That's awesome. So. Yeah.
Dan, how often do you replace just one element? I know that when I upgraded a previous house, I did the furnace for I wanted to go more efficient. Right, mm-hmm. A gas furnace, mm-hmm. And you went to the high efficiency one, and also did the air conditioner at the same time. Is that common, or is people usually do they have different lifespans, and you're doing one or the other?
Well, what usually happens is they usually have about the same lifespan, but mm-hmm. people put them in at different times, and you know, because someone wants an air conditioner, but it is much more cost effective to do the system at one time, just because you're saving quite a bit in labor.
Are there still tax credits available for going more higher efficiency?
There are some tax credits.
All right. Hey, we're talking to Dan Summers of Advantage Heating and Air Conditioning. And you know what? You're going to deal with somebody to help with your heating and air conditioning needs. Might as well use Dan and Advantage, because $400 will go to local first responders. Right,
and they always need equipment. Yeah,
and no, you can't keep it for yourself, folks. Yeah, Dan's taking that out of his profit margin, and then his supplier, and they're selling him the equipment that's going into your home. They're going to take a couple $100 out of their profits as well, and go to first responders.
Yes.
That's really great. Where are you did you serve? How did you get this idea to serve for first responders?
I had a really bad accident, and I was hit, and I had so many responders helping me.
All right, we gotta go. But thanks for being here. We appreciate it. It's been a great Newsmakers, and I'll be off tomorrow, but we got to dive some more into these things on Thursday. Thanks for being with us on Newsmakers with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN.
See you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.